Hey there, what's going on? How are you today? Did I mention that I absolutely love the Yamaha 731 Flugelhorn? Hey, welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. This is your host, the extraordinary Garrett Michael Conklin. What a douche I am to have an intro like that. But hey, what are you going to do? My podcast, my intro. That's just how I feel these days, folks. What are you going to do? I can shake my rattle. How nice. Anyway, interestingly enough, I went to a concert last night on a Tuesday? Yeah, on a Tuesday night, I went to a concert with my son. So that was cool. He picked up some tickets to like an indie band. Four bands played. Elder Brother was the band he wanted to see. It's a kind of a mix of a couple guys from the story so far and a couple of other guys. And they play kind of like chill, indie kind of, I don't know, pop punk. I'm not sure what kind of music it is, to be honest and to be fair. they were pretty good, though. We went to this little place called The Rec Room. And, man, I haven't been to a bar in a long time. Kind of weird. Not sure how I feel about being around a whole bunch of strangers in a small enclosed area. But, you know, what are you going to do? Got to live your life, man. Got to do your thing. Anyway, let's, jump right into some good stuff today. A few episodes back, I think it was called Transfer of Consciousness or Evolution or I don't know, some shit like that. Who knows what I'm ever talking about. But it was about mind uploading, right? And the transfer of your consciousness, your actual consciousness, not just making a copy, but the transfer of consciousness into, you know, your something else, into, you know, the internet, online, digital, different brain, something like that. And, you know, we've seen this in like movies like, I guess kind of like The Matrix. I mean, The Matrix was sort of a transference. You were just kind of still in your physical body and alive, but you were projected into somewhere else. But if you were not, what is it, blue-pilled in The Matrix, then you were still kind of like just in this goo. And but you were still a physical body. So I'm thinking more of like how Avatar, well, maybe not even that. I mean, that didn't really do it either. I guess it sort of did. At the end, it definitely did, right? So when the guy that was paralyzed finally was at the base of the tree there, he was, his consciousness was transferred from his biological body into some other being, you know, one of the native beings on this planet's body, one of the avatar bodies. So instead of just having like this simulated kind of like drone thing that he was controlling, he became that for real permanently based on some mystical powers that the planet possessed. Interestingly enough, though, there is like some research out there on this. It's not really something we can do at this point, but there's even things like, you know, I read about, I think it was IBM's Blue Brain. I think it was called Blue Brain. You know, to create like a neural network that emulated a brain, just in the digital world. I don't know if they were doing that for, you know, what I'm talking about or for, you know, like just either scientific reasons or, you know, purely academic kind of like, well, can we make a brain? Can we make that many connections? Can we simulate that kind of a model inside of technology? Do we have the technology to do that today? I mean, we've proven that we have the technology to mimic and exceed the computational aspects of the human brain. But there's a lot more to a human brain than just the ability to do mathematical equations and calculate numbers and stuff like that. So I don't know that we've really reached that point yet, but it kind of, I don't know. I think it's an interesting question and it's an interesting kind of subject to get into because of, you know, there's so much that surrounds it. And I was totally wrong. Here I was saying at one point that it would, you know, I had mentioned something about Elon Musk not too long back in this same conversation, and it was all about his ability or his desire to create drones that he would send to Mars to terraform it so he could move there. Now, I was under some delusion that it took like 60 or 70 years to get to Mars. That's complete horseshit. I think when it's at its furthest from the Earth, it's like 3 years. And when it's at its closest, it's like 6 to 7 months it would take us to get there. So that completely blows my theory, my original theory, out of the water that, well, why would we be looking to explore a different planet? But at the same time, going to a different planet might be an answer from a biological perspective, but it still doesn't answer the question of time, right? That's really where I'd like to kind of stick myself in terms of this particular conversation. And this is the position that I stand on, is that this, it's not where we are. Like, who gives a shit if we're on this planet or we're on Mars or on some other planet? Why would that matter? We're still biological. We're still constrained by the limitations of a biological existence. Therefore, you die at some point. And maybe dying is the next step and you move on to something greater. But unfortunately, the living don't know that. None of us have been visited for real by anyone from the past or from, you know, our past that has passed on and died. They've not come back, like, you know, the story of Jesus, and talked about any of that stuff. So it's all horseshit. You know, we have no idea what happens, at least not in a conventional sense. Of course, I'm not diminishing anyone's belief system or your structure of religion or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, there's no scientific evidence or there's no reasonable explanation for what happens once you die. Your body just deteriorates and everything that you were is gone. You know, I mean, that's just all you are, is a collection of memories and those that knew you. And, you know, your carbon footprint is forever to, you know, decay until it's completely reabsorbed by the biological world around it. But I think it's interesting, you know, that we really don't think about, well, I guess we're thinking about the future, but we're not thinking about our future. We're thinking about the future of future generations. So like my great, 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 great grandchildren, if that's where my, you know, my lineage goes, where my kids have kids and so on and so forth, you know, this kind of thing would be more in their realm. You know, like maybe we would deplete all the resources on this planet and have to go find another one to live on. I mean, that's entirely possible with the, you know, squandering and the waste that we have now, and just the absolute disregard for any kind of responsible doing of anything other than, you know, making more money and having more power. That seems to be the only things we really give a shit about as a society at large, if you take a far enough step back from, you know, everything that's ongoing on a daily basis. I mean, I guess you can kind of dig into individual lives, but if you look at the collective as a human species, what are we actually doing here? But really just trying to gain more power and more wealth. That's the overarching piece to everything that goes on in society at large. Unfortunately, you know, that would, I don't know, that's really disappointing to have to say that out loud, but it's kind of true. But again, I go back to the whole concept of, if we could get away from having to worry about, well, shit, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, or I'm only going to live for 10 more years. I mean, none of us really know that, but you know, there's an end at some point. So it would be great if you could just not have to worry about that, and imagine how euphoric your life would be if what you got to focus on were the things that were of the utmost importance to you. And I think we could all do this, even in some level of isolation, which is kind of what we're dealing with now. I mean, society has definitely changed. I mean, there's no question about it. It's definitely different than it used to be. And I'm not just saying that because I'm 50 years old. I'm saying that because we had a pandemic that shut everybody in their house for almost 2 years, closed down businesses, created this extremely polarized environment that we all live in now. And, you know, it's just not the same anymore. Social media has changed everything, the way that we communicate and the way that we don't communicate, and the way we connect and the way we don't connect. I mean, it's crazy. It seems like I feel more lonely now, even though I have a million people at my fingertips, than I ever did in my life before. And I even feel some of the compulsion of the phone itself being a physical device that I'm always looking at for the next thing, and watch this video and see this clip and what's this person up to. But I never really have any meaningful conversations with anyone outside of my family. I mean, and that's fine. It's just, you would think that if you're connected with people, and I'd mentioned this before, you know, I was talking to someone from China, and I've talked to people from all over the world, as I'm sure you have as well, but not all these conversations and interactions have any meaning. They're just pretty arbitrary and random, and they don't really go anywhere. And it's really, you know, kind of disappointing that the human experience has been degraded to such an extent that we don't really have any kind of meaningful interactions anymore. You know, I'm in an office now at work, and I would argue that we have decent interactions in that regard because we are physically present. So I would have to argue in favor of physical presence over remote presence, even though I would prefer not to have to go into an office. It's just a pain in the ass to drive in, but it certainly isn't a pain in the ass to be in physical proximity to people and looking at them and seeing them in front of me and talking to them verbally. And, you know, you're not disconnected and by media, you know, or by technology where that's what's connecting you. There's just not the same kind of experience. And it's funny because, you know, I'm very torn on that. Like I said, I want to be and enjoy very much and feel very strongly that being remote, you can get an awful lot done, but it really doesn't do very much for the human experience, right? It's good for task-driven or goal-oriented kind of accomplishments where you don't really need ultimate collaboration. And look, there is an argument to be made for the ability to collaborate because, as I've said before, I've been on teams where everyone was remote to everyone else. No one sat in the same office and we all got lots of work done and built relationships and, you know, it worked, you know, so it's definitely possible. It's just somehow not natural. Like none of this feels like this is the proper kind of evolution that we've kind of, you know, moved into this experience where anybody and everybody says anything and everything to anybody and everybody, right? I mean, you can just like what I'm doing right now. I mean, without this technology, I would not be doing this. And, you know, the people that listen to this would not be listening to the nonsense or the intellect that's coming out of my mouth, whatever you decide to, you know, call it or whatever you think that, you know, what I'm saying means to you, if anything at all. I think that, I wouldn't have a voice at all, literally in this way. I would be doing something completely different with my time. And, you know, while this is very therapeutic for me, I enjoy the ability to get these things out and express my feelings. And I've always done that in one way or another, whether it was through music or through writing or some, you know, whatever means was available. This is just, you know, yet another way that you can express yourself. But it seems to have gotten so, so toxic. And people are just not using this. Well, I shouldn't say that. People are using this technology for the good and the greater good, but no one seems to give a shit about those people. We all just want the most polarizing, radicalized, insane kind of scenarios. They're the only things that people pay attention to. No one really wants to listen to the people that have wonderful things to say, it would seem. And the only reason I conclude that is because that stuff isn't popular. You know, I mean, I like to listen to Russell Brand, and I think he's a very intelligent guy, but his topics, the reason he's so popular is really not because of that. It's more because of what he's talking about. You know, it's a topic that's a super hot button for so many people that I would imagine that it's very much like the Howard Stern scenario where, you know, he has probably a larger number of people that are listening to him that hate him than he does that really enjoy what he's saying and are trying to get something out of it. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I have no idea, no way to base my conclusions on any kind of fact. I'm just, you know, basing it on previous experience and known fact from, you know, things that were said by other people. But I can't imagine that I'm really wrong. You know, I would love to be. I think it would be great if there was a reason people were listening to somebody like that, or, you know, because they wanted to embrace, you know, free and open speech and open debate and not hate people simply because you have difference of opinion. I mean, I think that would be great if we could have far more discussions and debates and conversations like that, but it just doesn't seem like we're doing that these days. We're just looking for the most polarizing, radicalized, crazy ass motherfuckers out there that are saying the dumbest shit you can imagine, and that's what we want to go with. And then we have another side that's just blatantly lying about everything that they're talking about. You know, on one hand, if Trump said, get the vaccine, you're a fucking idiot. But then if the Democratic Party says, get the vaccine and you don't, you're a fucking idiot. It's like, well, I mean, it's the same vaccine. So how does that make any sense? It has no credibility whatsoever because it's so politicized that, I mean, how do you take that any other way? It was bad when this guy said it, but it's good because we're saying it, but you're saying the same thing. That doesn't make any sense. And are you really that ignorant that you think that everyone else is that ignorant that they don't see that too? Holy shit, I hope the population is not that ignorant at large. I mean, I think that would be horrifying if we have that many ignorant people that just are so dumb that they would think that that's reality, that they don't get that people are lying to you all the time, that no one is looking out for your best interests, even though that's all they try to tell you is that, oh, we're doing this for you. We're looking out for your best interests. No, you're not. You're absolutely not. These people are not here to help us. They're here to help themselves and for those that they owe, right? They've sown their, you know, oats and made their deals with the devil long ago. And now the, you know, the piper came a knocking and it's time to pay it all back. So here comes the favors. And this is what these clowns now have to do because they're just a bunch of puppets because they got where they got based on making promises to people that were going to make them do horrible things. And they're all a bunch of corrupt fools, in my opinion. Our government is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. In my lifetime, this is it's just the epitome of the worst time from a societal standpoint. It's an absolute farce right now. Everything that's being said on either side is a joke. You have no good choices, no matter who you like. Who are you going to pick, Trump or Biden? I mean, what the hell? That's the choice? Really? And I've said this before. That's, I mean, what are you supposed to do? I didn't even vote. What the fuck am I going to vote for? The idiot we have now or the idiot we had before? How are those the only two choices? There were so many other possible candidates that had real promise, like Tulsi Gabbard. Awesome, awesome. Hell, I would have taken Bernie Sanders over Joe Biden. This guy is a fucking idiot. What is he doing? Like I've said before, I feel bad for the guy because I think he's mentally sick. There's something wrong. He's in mental decline for sure. You know, he's too old to be doing this. He's not fit for duty. But yet somehow the guy is still the president of the United States. How is that possible? Why is that? I just don't fathom how that can possibly be. So, you know, talking about transfer of consciousness, I mean, how do we have someone that doesn't have any sense whatsoever? They've met with such mental decline that they're incapable of even really saying anything coherent for anything more than a sentence or two. And then they wander off into, you know, no man's land, just gibberish and nonsense. And this is the person running our country? Man, that's. And at the same time, we have companies like SpaceX figuring out how to get into space and terraform another planet. So it's like a comedy of errors. I mean, what the fuck are we doing? Holy shit, man. I mean, think about the things that are going on right now. We have some of the most innovative things of all time happening right now, simultaneously, while we have the worst society in the history of our country. Maybe they're connected somehow. I don't know. You know, I certainly don't have the answers. I mean, that's a tough question, but we really need to start unpacking all these things and starting, in my opinion, with transparency and openness and honesty. And unfortunately, we're going to have to line people up and literally eliminate them before anything like that will ever happen. There are just far too many corrupt people in power that are not going to give up that power and that corruption for the greater good of anyone except themselves. So they're not going to do it. The only way to do it is to force them out. And the only way to do that is through most likely, you know, civil disobedience, physical violence, you know, all kinds of horrifying shit. I mean, I'm not saying that we in any way, shape, or form should or would do that, because is that really going to make it better? Is the sacrifice worth, you know, the risk and the cost? You know, I mean, that's a hard thing to say. I mean, I guess you could argue that, you know, when we earned our independence from England, I guess that, you know, it was worth all of those people dying for us to have this country. And now look where we are today. So are we really any better off than what we left originally to come build? I think feel like we've kind of gone in the wrong direction here for the last couple decades, and things are finally catching up to us and we're really in a tough spot. So again, this whole transfer of consciousness component that I wanted to talk about here, the undertone here is that, you know, none of this would really matter if we all had an unlimited amount of time to exist in some way, shape, or form, in a manner in which we could control ultimately and be, in fact, our own kind of little god in our own little space. I really wish that, you know, there was some way in which I could do that, because I think it would be a wonderful experience to just not have to worry about all of this nonsense that we have to worry about and be able to focus all of my time just on the things that were important. But unfortunately, we all have to make a living somehow doing something. So we have to participate in some kind of society, no matter how good or bad it might be in the present time. And that's a real, I don't know if that's a conundrum, word of the day, but, it's a real problem. You know, it's a real pickle. I think that, you know, unfortunately, we all have to do things that we don't really want to do and spend an inordinate amount of time, or at least a significant portion of time, doing things we may or may not want to do with people we may or may not want to do them with, simply because of requirement for existence in modern society, which is nonsense, because all of the things that we're talking about shouldn't cost us any money. The earth should be able to provide and does provide for us in every possible way. We've just chosen to leave that behind in favor of this fucking disaster of a society we live in today. Right? These kinds of things did not exist with Neanderthal man and cave people and things like that, where your existence was based and predicated on survival, not on, you know, having the next fucking Rolex watch or the Apple watch or, you know, the iPhone, whatever next stupid, meaningless thing, materialistic thing that we don't actually need in any way, shape, or form. No, I'm not arguing in any way that this isn't a better life, because I, for one, would not be alive because I was born with a disability. I have heart condition congenitally, and I would have died a while back, if not, you know, as a child, because of the heart surgery that I had when I was 3 years old that fixed my problems. Now, without modern technology and society, I would be dead. So it's, you know, if you can't take a sincere, sincere takeaway from me arguing this point, then, you know, there's no hope for you. Unfortunately, you're not going to get it from anyone, because I am arguing against my own existence for the greater good of people, because we're in such a disastrous place right now as a society. But I still feel like the ability to remove the restriction of time from being perceptible and holding any meaning over people, I think, while terrifying in one sense that, you know, time would no longer matter, time doesn't really matter until you make yourself aware of it, right? Unless you're looking at your clock or thinking about the future or the past or the present. If you're just living in the moment, time means nothing. It doesn't have any significance to you in the moment. So if we were able to live in the moment perpetually or eternally, then we'd have this great existence. And I think it'd be something really worth exploring. You know, but again, I think the extent that to which we've gotten at this point is going to make it very, very difficult to break away from that. And I think some type of cataclysmic event far beyond some kind of virus or, you know, pandemic like we're experiencing now, it will take something far greater to unite the entire, you know, the entirety of humanity and make us finally see the error of our ways and get rid of the monetary system and just live for the sake of life, not for the sake of buying the next dumbass thing, you know, or being take, you know, having to work because you can't eat otherwise. I mean, it's, you know, I guess you could argue that, well, you'd have to work to eat even if you didn't have a job to pay for the food for those that make the food that you pay for, right? But I would think that my life would be better. And I guess I have this choice and I'm just not making it. If I could sustain myself and my own family in my own way. And maybe the Amish have it right. Keep your communities, you know, safe from all of the mess that we've created here in society for the rest of us, and just kind of live off the land and live more of a puristic or a purist lifestyle than this abomination that we're all living in now. And look, I'm not trying to be a doomsday, you know, in reality, I feel almost none of this. I mean, I don't live in some big city where all of this craziness is happening. So I don't really have much of a position on any of that, because it doesn't affect me. Like, I don't live in California. I don't see homeless people everywhere where I live. They exist, but it's tiny by way of comparison. I don't walk down a street and have 15 blocks of a city filled with homeless people. So that problem is not a problem for me. So I'm very shielded and disconnected and live in some semblance of a bubble because I don't experience that kind of, you know, stuff. I mean, I don't even live in a place where that kind of violence exists. I mean, it does here in cities that are nearby to where I live. And even in my own city, there's, you know, people get shot and there's crime and all that stuff, but it's not like what is kind of like exacerbated on the news and things like, we just don't have that kind of stuff happen where I live. And thank goodness, I'm so glad for that. So it might be boring to some degree where I am, but at least I don't have to deal with all that crap on top of all the crap that we have to deal with that, you know, is just part of everyone being in the United States of America at this point, living in this disastrous society that we've created for ourselves. I don't know, man. I don't know why I'm on this tangent again where I was talking about one thing and now I'm talking about something totally different, but hey, man, if this is your first time to this podcast, that's kind of what it does. I just kind of shoot my mouth off for 20 or 30 minutes, and that's about what you get. So, you know, with that, I guess I'll summarize my thought on the transfer of consciousness being something that I equate in the relationship to time being finite for all of us, and in the sense that being able to transfer your consciousness into some mechanism that would give you an unlimited amount of time to have an experience, you know, and do the things that you love the most. And, you know, I guess as ridiculous as it sounds, it would almost like emulate being a vampire. I mean, funny kind of correlation there, but, you know, interesting old story there. I mean, on that whole, that's been around for a long time, that tale. Of course, untrue, but nevertheless, an interesting story. But, you know, the undead, the eternal life is always an intriguing scenario. But often the story ends with, you know, these beings or these creatures longing for death, and because they've been alive so long and all they've really watched is everyone they've loved and cared for die, which has always been kind of a strange, I don't know why that's where these stories go. Why is there such turmoil about turning people into what you are and living forever with them when you love them? Like that whole Twilight movie, that whole book is just fucking ridiculous. I mean, if he loved Bella, if you've ever seen this, it's Edward and Bella. If he loved her the way that he did, I don't understand his torture and torment over wanting to have her for his entire life. Is it supposed to be that he's really that selfless? But in a way, it seems awfully selfish because she loves him too. And what, is she supposed to get old and die while he stays young? And I don't know, that whole thing just, we always twist it and turn it and fuck it all up, in my opinion, when we write these things out as authors. There's always these really weird twists to these thoughts. I don't understand why we have to make it so tortured and tormented and screwed up. I mean, the answer is just turn her into a vampire and the both of you live happily ever after forever. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that what, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. I mean, I would absolutely, you know, I have children. I mean, I don't know if you can have children as a vampire, but I mean, if I were to turn into a vampire at this point, I would turn my wife into a vampire. And then when our children were of the right age, they would get turned into them too. I mean, ultimately I guess all would. Wasn't there a movie with Ethan Hawke about something like this where since everybody turned into a vampire, they were actually running out of blood and regular human beings? I think I recall some movie like that. So I guess there's always a conundrum to deal with, no matter, even if you find life everlasting, you still have to deal with the fact that now everybody would of course want that. So that's why it has to be universal. These things have to not just be about the individual. They have to be about the collective good. And, you know, it's something I'm doing at work where we're talking about function over individual. We're not trying to give a person a ticket. We're trying to give a ticket to a function that we can fill with people, not a specific person. So kind of the same, similar concept, just, you know, from a different perspective to some degree where, you know, you don't want to be so selfish that you're thinking about, well, this person can solve the problem. So they just give them every problem because they'll be able to solve them all. And then you have other people that do almost nothing. That doesn't work either. So you have to really approach it from the function over individual kind of scenario, which means you have to be selfless, not selfish. And yeah, of course, the easier thing would be to give the ticket to the person that can solve the problem. And in some cases, that may be the right decision. But in a lot of cases, if you're not approaching it from a functional standpoint, it will be dysfunctional, right? By its innate nature. So how is that really going to work? I don't know. Who the hell knows what I'm talking about at this point? At almost 9 o'clock at night, you know, Wednesday? What do I know? I'm pretty fried at this point. So let's just call it quits for now, because this was a weird, all over the place episode, as everything is. But thanks as always for tuning in, and I'll talk to you on the rebound.